السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
گزشتہ خطبے میں میں نے بیان کیا تھا کہ روزوں اور رمضان کا مقصد جو اللہ تعالیٰ نے بیان فرمایا ہے.
In the previous sermon I mentioned that the purpose of fasting and Ramadan, as outlined by Allah the Almighty, is to develop taqwa, i.e. righteousness within the hearts. And in regards to this, I presented some extracts from the writings of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, elaborating on those means which enable us to acquire this, and also how we can adopt those means. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has further expounded on this subject in various places in order to firmly embed its importance in our hearts. And also so that it is manifested in every action and practice of ours. Because if there is no taqwa, i.e. righteousness, then one cannot perform any righteous deed in order to seek the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Indeed, everyone performs good deeds out of a momentary impulse or due to any other reason every now and then. But one can only regularly perform them when there is true taqwa. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, stated that in order to become a muttaqi, i.e. a righteous person, it is not enough to simply worship God or to fulfill the rites of the creation of God. In fact, a righteous person is one who also adopts a high standard of morals and has a positive influence on others through his or her piety and righteousness. Thus, on one occasion, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, stated that high morals are a sign of a righteous person. Furthermore, explaining the true purpose of a believer's life, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, stated that one should always demonstrate the beauty of the teachings of Islam, and this can only be possible when one exhibits high morals while treading on taqwa, i.e. righteousness. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, taqwa is made up of many components, and to abstain from vanity, selfishness, unlawful wealth, and to refrain from all kinds of immoral behavior is part of taqwa. A person who displays good morals, then even his enemies become his friends. Allah the Almighty states that repel evil with that which is best. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam first of all stated that taqwa is to refrain from all kinds of ill habits, and to display good morals is also taqwa, which enables one to turn even his enemies into friends. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, one should ponder over what we are being taught in this injunction. In this injunction, Allah the Almighty desires that even if the opponents hurl abuse towards us, we should not respond to them in the same manner. Rather, we should show patience, and this will convince our opponents of our excellence, and they will in turn become penitent and ashamed of themselves. Such a punishment is far greater than the one you could inflict if you had the opportunity to exact revenge. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, a person could even go to the extent of committing murder. However, this is against humanity and righteousness. Good morals is such a virtue that it can even influence the most malevolent of people. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, someone so beautifully once stated in Persian, that is, if you treat others with kindness, then even the strangers will draw closer to you and be part of your community of friends. Therefore, this is the principal teaching which we must always bear in mind, wherein we should always exhibit good morals by adhering our every action to taqwa, i.e. righteousness. Then, elucidating this matter further as to what is meant by morals, what their purpose is, and what the purpose of exhibiting good morals is, and also what example of good morals we have before us, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, firstly, it is morals which make us human. And nobody should merely consider kindness to be the sum total of morals. By morals which make us human is not only meant that one should treat one another with kindness. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, khalq and khulq are two words which indicate juxtaposing meanings. Khalq is the name of physical birth. For instance, ears, nose, and even hair, etc. are all encompassed by the word khalq. And khulq means the metaphysical birth. In that way, inner qualities by virtue of which humans are distinguishable from animals fall under the word khulq. And even intellect and cognition fall under the word khulq. The promised Messiah further states, by utilizing khulq, a person reforms his humanness. If people were not assigned their duties, that is, if they are not fulfilling the human duties, or if they are not assigned any duties, then one would have to see whether someone is a human, a donkey, or what. When the attributes of khulq are compromised, then only the apparent structure is what is left behind. If one's khulq are not good, then they are compromised, and since to be considered a human, high morals are necessary. Therefore, if they are compromised, then only the apparent form of a human is left behind, and true humanity is lost. The promised Messiah further states, for instance, if a person loses his mind, he is referred to as insane. He is only recognized as human due to his apparent form. He is only referred to as human due to his apparent form, but he does not have an intellect as humans do. He is bereft of that. The promised Messiah further states, thus by morals is meant the seeking of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. And what is meant by seeking the pleasure of Allah? The promised Messiah states, it is what is personified in the practical life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And what are morals? It is what Allah the Almighty desires. And what does Allah the Almighty desire? It is what we observe in every aspect of the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah states that it is the attaining of the pleasure of God. This is our goal. The promised Messiah further states, by morals is meant the attaining of the pleasure of Allah. For that, it is necessary that one should try to fashion his life according to the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. These morals are like the foundation. If they remain unsteady, a building cannot be constructed upon them. Morals are like laying one brick on top of the other. And if one brick is laid out of line, then the entire wall remains uneven. How beautiful has someone stated this in Persian? That is, if the first brick is laid unevenly by the mason, then even up to the Pleiades, the walls will continue to remain awry. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states that you should listen to these matters with utmost attention. I have seen many people, and I have observed them closely, who although show generosity, i.e. they are very generous and very giving, however, their anger is aroused easily, and they are oversensitive. Some are gentle, but miserly at the same time. They are very kind-hearted, but also very miserly. Some in a state of extreme anger, even severely injure an individual with sticks. But as for humility, there is not an iota of it found in them. And some have been observed to have humbleness of the highest order, but they possess no bravery. If they get angry, there is no humility left in them. And if they exhibit humility, then even when the occasion warrants bravery, they are left deprived of that moral quality. Furthermore, regarding the moral qualities of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, with regards to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, Allah the Exalted has stated that, and thou dost surely possess high moral excellences. And in every aspect of life, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, demonstrated the highest example of his moral qualities, which is obligatory for a believer to follow according to his capacity and capability. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states regarding the Holy Prophet that there was a time when the Holy Prophet, due to his eloquent speech, would mesmerize a group of people and leave them speechless. He was so eloquent in speech that a large gathering would be influenced. Then a time came when he displayed tremendous courage in the battlefield. And when it came to generosity, he gave a mountain of gold, demonstrating his excellence with regards to forbearance. He forgave those upon whom the penalty of death was mandated. In short, it is the unique and perfect example of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, which Allah the Exalted has manifested. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, its example is that of a great and magnificent tree, from each element of which a person can fulfill his needs while sitting in its shade. Its fruit, its flower, its bark, its leaves, in short, every element of it is beneficial. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states regarding the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his moral qualities, that the bravest in battle was considered to be the one who would be near the Holy Prophet, as he would be in place of great danger. Subhanallah, holy is Allah, what great stature the Holy Prophet had. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, a time came when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, possessed such a large flock of sheep, which even the emperors Caesar and Khosrow did not possess. And yet he gave them all to a beggar. This is the demonstration of his moral conduct. If he possessed nothing, what could he have given? Then there is another aspect, and that is that if the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not have any kind of governance, then how could it be proven that despite possessing the power to take revenge, he forgave those disbelievers upon whom the penalty of death was mandatory, who had inflicted most atrocious pain and hardships upon the revered companions and upon the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Muslim women? But when they came face to face, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, announced that no blame shall lie upon you on this day, and I have forgiven you. If such occasion did not arise, how would the high moral qualities of the Holy Prophet be displayed? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, "Name me one moral quality which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did not possess, and which was not at the stage of perfection." Thus, this is the perfect example in regards to which Allah the Exalted has stated that we should also follow the example of this Prophet to the utmost extent of our capacities and capabilities. We will need to endeavor and strive to follow this example. Merely stating that how can we follow this example is not sufficient, as this is the example of the Prophet of Allah the Exalted, which is of the highest standard, and Allah the Exalted has stated that you need to follow it. And Allah the Exalted has commanded us to adhere to this model. Therefore, it is necessary to endeavor and strive for this. Hence, mentioning this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "Until a person strives and utilizes prayer, the distress that befalls the heart cannot be removed. The difficult and dark hurdle that has been created in the heart cannot be removed until you strive and pray along with it. Endeavor and prayer both are necessary. Hence, Allah the Exalted has stated, that is, that surely Allah changes not the condition of a people until they change that which is in their hearts. In other words, God the Exalted does not remove any kind of calamity and tribulation from a nation until the nation itself does not endeavor to remove it. If they do not take heart and display courage, why should a change be brought about? The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "This is an unchangeable tradition of Allah the Exalted," as he states, "and thou will never find a change in the way of Allah." Thus, whether it is our Jamaat or someone else, they can only reform their morals if they strive and utilize prayers. Otherwise, it is not possible. Furthermore, mentioning the fact that regardless of how low a person's morals might be, they can be reformed if he wishes to do so. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, as mentioned earlier, that this requires an endeavor. With regards to this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has also mentioned the views of philosophers and presented an example. Hence, the promised Messiah states, "Philosophers have two schools of thought regarding the possibility of moral reform. There are those who believe that man is capable of moral reform, and others who believe that he is not. The fact of the matter is that morals can be changed if one is not complacent and makes an effort to do so. Thus, do not display complacency, rather strive, and consequently morals can be reformed." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "At this point, I am reminded of a story, and it is as follows. It is said that once a man came to see the renowned Greek philosopher Plato, and sought permission to enter at the door. It was Plato's principle that he did not allow visitors to enter until studying their appearance and facial features. He would not allow them to enter until he studied their countenance and appearance. And he would form an opinion regarding the described person based on the appearance. From these things, he would form an opinion about the person who came and what he was like. As usual, the servant came and described the appearance of the person, upon which Plato said, to tell him that since you are a man with many immoralities, therefore I do not wish to meet you. He said that you possess many indecent qualities and I do not wish to meet you. When this person heard this response from Plato, he told the servant to go and tell Plato that whatever you have said is correct. However, I have shunned my indecent habits and have made a reform. In other words, I have shunned indecencies and all my immoralities. Upon this, Plato said that indeed, this might be possible. Hence, he invited him inside and met him with utmost honor and respect. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, those philosophers who believe that morals cannot be reformed are in the wrong. We observe that after truly repenting, some civil servants who take bribes do not cast their eyes even on a mountain of gold if someone was to offer it to them. Citing an example of how one should reform his or her morals, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, just as a person experiences a time where he physically deteriorates, i.e. a person's physical faculties weaken, which is known as agedness, and during which the eyes no longer function properly and the hearing becomes faint. In short, every part of the body almost ceases to function. In the same way, remember that feebleness is of two kinds, or agedness is of two kinds, natural and unnatural. Natural is that which has already been mentioned, i.e. the physical weakness that comes with old age, which is natural. However, the unnatural kind is that where one is negligent of one's ailments, i.e. one does not show any concern to his or her illnesses, and consequently, they weaken the person and age him prematurely. A person becomes senile and ages if one shows no concern. Thus, just as this phenomenon exists in the physical system, wherein a person becomes weak if he or she does not find a cure for their illnesses and ailments. And in this physical system, there are two ways in which one becomes feeble and weak. The first is where one becomes naturally weak with age, and the other is where a person unnaturally becomes weak due to negligence. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, just as this phenomenon exists in the physical system, in the same way this exists in the spiritual system also. Just as there are two ways by which one becomes feeble and weak, similarly, there are two ways in the spiritual system by which one can become weak. If a person fails to transform his immorals into high moral qualities and attributes, and does not transform his ill thoughts into good thoughts and practices, then eventually his morals disintegrate completely. It is clearly established by the sayings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the teachings of the Holy Quran, that there is a cure for every illness. However, if lethargy and apathy overcome a person, then there is no escaping complete ruin. A person cannot be saved who lives a life as carefree as the elderly. Thus, Allah the Almighty has provided those means in this month through which we can remove such lethargic tendencies. Each and every one of us should pay focus towards improving their morals and abstaining from all other ills and sins. If one does not pay attention to this, even when experiencing this special atmosphere, then just as the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, stated, that one will become feeble, which will lead to one's death. And such a person will stand before Allah the Almighty without having acquired any taqwa, i.e. righteousness. Then, regarding the acquisition of high morals, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam draws our attention towards repentance. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "In actuality, repentance is extremely effective and helpful for the acquisition of morals. If one wishes to acquire high morals, then it is important to repent. However, repentance does not simply mean to seek repentance for sins, but it is also very important in order to adopt high morals." The promised Messiah further states, "Repentance makes a man perfect." In other words, if a person wishes to reform his ill morals, then it is important to first repent with complete sincerity and with full resolve. It should be borne in mind that there are three conditions for repentance, and without fulfilling those, one cannot achieve true repentance, which is known as Tawbatun Nusuh. Out of these three conditions, the first condition, which in Arabic is known as Ikhlas, that is, to get rid of wicked fancies which arouse evil propensities. It is important to dispel all ill habits, immoral thoughts, and immoral practices. And this is the first condition. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states regarding the first condition that ideas have great influence. Expounding on how one can rid such thoughts, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that when a person thinks of something, it has a great influence on them, because every action is preceded by an idea. Before doing anything, one first has to think about it. Thus, the prime condition for repentance is that evil thoughts and fancies should be discarded. For instance, if a person has an illicit relationship with a woman and desires to repent, it is necessary that he should conceive of her as ugly and should call to mind all her low qualities. As I have just said, that fancies exercise a powerful influence, and I have read that some Sufis carried their fancies to such a length that they saw a person in the form of an ape or a pig. In short, everything takes on the color of how you imagine it to be. Thus, the first condition of repentance is that all thoughts which give rise to evil pleasures should be discarded altogether. In other words, one should think of them as impure. The second condition is remorse. Everyone's conscience admonishes him over every evil. However, an unfortunate person leaves his conscience suspended. In other words, he does not utilize this faculty which Allah the Almighty has endowed him with. Therefore, a sinner should express remorse over his sin and evil action, and should reflect that the pleasure to be derived from this is temporary and short-lived. These pleasures are temporary and for a limited number of days. He should also consider that every time there is a decline in that pleasure, and that in the end, in old age, when his faculties are weakened, he will perforce have to give up all these pleasures. Then, why indulge in that which in the end has to be given up anyhow? Most fortunate is the person. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that most fortunate is the person who turns in repentance and becomes determined to discard all corrupt thoughts and vile fancies. And when he gets rid of this impurity, he should then be remorseful. The third condition is a firm resolve that he will not revert to these vices. If he adheres to this resolve, God will bestow upon him the strength for true repentance, and he will be rid altogether of his vices, which will be replaced by good morals and praiseworthy actions. And this is a moral victory. The promised Messiah states, it is for God Almighty to bestow the power and strength for it, for he is the master of all power and all strength, as he states that all power belongs to Allah. All power belongs to Allah, and man is weak in structure. And the reality is, that man has been created weak. Therefore, to attain strength and power from God, one must perfect the three conditions and should abstain from being complacent and lazy, and should become active and should pray to Allah the Almighty, and then Allah will bring about reform as a result. The promised Messiah alayhi salam explains the struggle one must undertake to eschew these vices by explaining with the example of a person who shows bravery. The promised Messiah states, our community is not in need of strong men and wrestlers. Rather, we need such strong people who make efforts in trying to bring about their reformation. It is a fact that a powerful and strong person is not he who can move a mountain. Rather, it is he who can bring about moral reform. Thus, you should use all your energy and might in trying to bring about moral reform, because therein lies real strength and bravery. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then states, an excellent moral state is a miraculous thing upon which no one can lay any objections. The biggest and most powerful miracle bestowed upon the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was the morals granted to him. As it stated, that thou dost surely possess high moral excellences. Whilst in evidence for his truthfulness, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, displayed more miracles than all the other prophets, peace be upon them, combined. However, the miracle of his moral excellence was the greatest of them all. The annals of history cannot produce an equal example to his, and nor will anyone in future ever be able to display any parallel. The promised Messiah states, I believe that every person who abandons their degraded and corrupted morals and in turn adopts high moral excellences, ridding themselves of vices and embracing virtues, this doing so becomes a miracle for them. For instance, if a person who is callous, hard-hearted, insensitive, and bad-tempered eradicates these bad habits and adopts forgiveness and gentleness, or rids himself of niggardliness and adopts generosity and open-heartedness, or if he avoids jealousy and becomes compassionate and caring, then surely this is a miracle. Similarly, if one rids himself of conceit, egotism, and narcissism, and adopts humility, then displaying humility is a miracle. Therefore, who amongst you does not wish to be one who displays miracles? I know that everyone would want to do so. Thus, this is a living and timeless miracle. Man should reform his moral state because its impact is permanent and never-ending, and its benefits are in fact enduring and long-lasting. The promised Messiah further states, a believer should become miraculous in the eyes of God and His creation. Both in the view of God of the Almighty and in the view of His creation, one should become a miraculous individual by instilling pious reformation within and adopting humility and modesty and eschewing self-conceitedness, by adopting generosity and open-heartedness and abandoning jealousy and stinginess and by displaying love and sympathy. When one demonstrates all of these good qualities and attributes and eradicates bad qualities and vices, this is a miracle shown by that person in the eyes of Allah the Almighty and mankind. The Promised Messiah states there are many people who indulge in vices who are not influenced or affected at all by miracles and signs. However, when they witness moral excellences in someone, they accept the truth and find no other option but to accept it. The Promised Messiah further states, you will observe this fact in the lives of many people who accepted the truth only due to witnessing the miracle of one's morals. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam narrated this while sitting in the company of some others in a mosque. As the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was mentioning all of this in a gathering, a few Sikh gentlemen entered wearing clothes like beggars, and the stench of intoxicating substances emanated from them. And they too entered this gathering. The narrator of this incident writes that these people started spewing such absurd and ludicrous things that there was a potential of apprehension and uneasiness overtaking the gathering. He writes, however, our pure and holy Imam, peace be upon him, displayed through his practical conduct the very miraculous morals that was explaining and guiding us about. This had such an impact upon everyone present in the gathering, which was visible from the passionate cries of the companions sitting in the gathering, and ultimately those mischief makers were caught by the police. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam explains the different reasons for inculcating faith. Convincing the wicked opponents of prophets, and particularly of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to accepting the faith was never reliant on miracles, and nor were miracles a means to influence them. Indeed, these opponents were convinced of the truthfulness of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, purely by observing his excellent virtues and morals. Miraculous morals can have effect in a way that powerful miracles cannot. Al-istakamatu fawqa al-kiramata means a steadfastness is of a greater value than miracles. Experiment yourself and see how steadfastness and firm resolve produces extraordinary effects and miracles. People do not pay attention even a little to miracles, especially nowadays. However, if people discover that a person has great morals, then the attention that he is given is no secret. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, those people who do not find satisfaction after having witnessed great miracles, even they are affected by high moral qualities. The fact is that there are few who believe after having witnessed physical miracles and wonders. And similarly, there are only some who believe due to having witnessed the truth and after having gained insight. However, most are those for whom high morals and good manners are the means for their guidance and satisfaction of the truth. Even today, there are countless number of people who enter the fold of Ahmadiyyat because they have been greatly impressed by the good moral actions of an Ahmadi, or by the general morals displayed by the members of the community. Therefore, every Ahmadi must pay close attention to this, that their good morals are not just a means of attaining taqwa, but it is a religious obligation, and can also become a means of reforming others. Therefore, every Ahmadi should pay particular focus on their morals. Expounding on the method to acquire faith, the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, to seek help from God in order to be reformed and to spend one's efforts for this is the method to attain faith. In other words, to spend all of one's effort and strength and to supplicate to Allah the Almighty in order to be reformed is the way to acquire faith. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, it is mentioned in the Ahadith, i.e. the traditions of the Holy Prophet, that one who raises his hands to supplicate with complete conviction, then such a prayer is never rejected by Allah the Almighty. Thus implore from God Almighty with complete conviction and pure intentions. The Promised Messiah further states, my advice once again is that displaying good morals is akin to showing miracles. If someone says that he does not desire to become a miracle worker, then he is being fooled by Satan. The ability to show miracles does not signify self-appraisal or haughtiness, because by witnessing miracles, people are made aware of the truth and also the reality of Islam and receive guidance. I tell you once again, conceit and haughtiness are not part of righteous characteristic. Rather, they are satanic influences. Behold, there are millions of Muslims that reside in different parts of the world. Have they been coerced or forced to accept Islam at the mercy of the sword? Certainly not. This is absolutely false. It is the pristine inherent characteristics of Islam that drew them towards it. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, there are various types of blessings, including the blessings of good morals, which is valued trait in every respect. Those people who accept Islam only saw the blessings of this very virtue, i.e. good morals, and this left a lasting impression upon them. They saw Islam through the spectacle of magnificence, rather than view it from the sword. The promised Messiah further states, famous Western historians were forced to admit the fact that Islam's core principles are so strong that it compels people of other nations to accept it. Then, whilst explaining the concept that morals are similar to risk, i.e. provisions, and to express them is to spend out of the faculties provided by Allah the Almighty, which also makes up a part of righteousness, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, usually, people consider risk, i.e. provisions, to mean those provisions which are edible. This is incorrect. A risk is not simply things which can be consumed or taken to mean money or wealth. Anything that is supplied to fuel one's faculties can be considered as risk. One is bestowed with knowledge, wisdom, deep insight, and cognizance, sustenance for the body, and an increase in wealth are all things that can be considered to be risk. One's abilities, moral character, wealth, etc. can all be included in the category of risk. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam continues by saying, sovereignty and the having best of morals are all counted in risk. God Almighty states, and they spend out of which we have provided for them. This means they give provisions to others out of their own wealth. They impart their own knowledge onto others and also display the best moral conduct for others. Pay heed, a miser is not only that individual who refuses to give to the destitute, rather even the one who abstains from imparting knowledge which has been bestowed by Allah the Almighty is also a miser. There are several categories of a miser. Any individual that holds back from granting others from their capabilities or their wealth are also deemed as misers. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further elaborated by saying, to hold back from imparting one's knowledge onto others for the reason that in doing so they may become insignificant or that they may not earn as much is deemed as idolatry. For the reason that in such a case, that individual thinks that their particular knowledge or skill is their provider and lord. Similarly, the individual who fails to make use of their good morals is also a miser. To make use of one's moral values means to use the morals that have been bestowed by God and conduct yourself in this manner with God Almighty's creation. Firstly, one should adopt the morals that have been bestowed to man by God Almighty and then conduct themselves using them with people. And this will be a way of spending out of which God Almighty has provided for them. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues by saying, upon seeing this example, people will instinctively strive to inculcate these morals within themselves. When people present a good example through their high morals, then others will also endeavor to become well-mannered. The promised Messiah states, good morals does not only mean to speak with a soft tone or using polite language. Instead, the attributes such as bravery, generosity, and chastity are all moral strength, and using them at the correct time makes them part of one's morals. Whilst advising the members of the community to adopt the highest of morals and to bring about changes within themselves, the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated the following, whosoever demonstrates to their neighbor a change within their moral conduct for the better, it will be as if they had performed a miracle. They will leave a lasting impression upon their neighbor. The promised Messiah continues by saying, they raise allegations against our community that we are unaware when we will succeed and invent fabrications in an enraged manner. Is it not a point of embarrassment for them that a man enters this community after deeming it to be a better place, just like a son bears the virtuous traits of his father? In other words, the one who enters into the bath, i.e. oath of initiation, is like a son that follows guidance. For this reason, the wives of the Holy Prophet are called mothers of the believers, making the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, the father of the Muslim community. A father gives life to his offspring and is responsible for bringing them physically into this world. However, a spiritual father can carry an individual to heaven, which is the true center of gathering. The Promised Messiah further states, "Does anyone wish to become the source of disrepute for their own father?" The evils that are being highlighted for the people indicates that by adopting them, they will discredit the Jamaat by continuing in this manner. The Promised Messiah continues by saying, "Would any son desire to defame his father by visiting prostitutes, or involving himself in gambling, or becoming a drunkard, or indulging himself in such immoral acts that will bring shame upon the father?" The Promised Messiah states, "I know for a fact that no individual would wish for this. Yet, when a dishonorable son carries out such acts, then it is not possible for one to remain silent. Which means that if one does this, then the people will point fingers, and people will point fingers at the father, saying the son of such and such is engrossed in immoral acts. Thus, the dishonorable son himself becomes the means of bringing shame upon his father. Similarly, if an individual enters this fold, i.e. joins the Jamaat, and does not uphold the honor and respect of this community by committing an act that is contrary to its values, then in the eyes of God Almighty, he is culpable. In other words, in the eyes of God Almighty, he is guilty and will be held accountable, because he not only ruins himself, rather he has a negative impact on others and becomes the reason for them to remain bereft of the good fortune of guidance." The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "Thus you should seek the succor of God with all your might and with all your strength and courage, and you should strive to remove your weaknesses. Wherever you stumble, you should raise your hands for supplication with complete truthfulness and conviction, because anyone who supplicates with complete humility and humbleness, accompanied with conviction and truthfulness, is never left empty-handed. We can say with experience that thousands of our prayers have been accepted and continue to be accepted." The Promised Messiah states, "It is an undeniable truth that the one who does not harbor any compassion for their fellow beings is a miser. If I see a path that is blessed and beneficial, then it is my responsibility to alert the people and call them towards it. One should not be concerned whether people will follow it or not. Thus, every action of ours should prove that having entered into the bayt, i.e. the oath of initiation with the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, we have made a virtuous moral change. And then we should inform the people, which is the way to perform tabligh, i.e. preaching the message of Islam. May Allah the Almighty enable us to make a virtuous change within ourselves in line with righteousness, and keeping the model of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in mind. And may we spend our lives in the manner the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam wished for us to spend them." After the prayers, I will lead two funeral prayers in absentia. The first is of Mr. Lutfur Rahman Sahib from USA. He was the son of Mia Taur Rahman Sahib, and he passed away on 27th May 2017. To Allah we belong, and to him shall we return. He was originally from Bera, and his paternal grandfather, Hazrat Mia Karimuddin Sahib, was a companion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, who performed the bayt in 1894. His wife, Talia Bibi Sahiba, may well have performed the bayt with her husband, i.e. the deceased paternal grandmother. However, she was not fully convinced by it. She saw a dream, Talia Bibi was her name, after which the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated that the woman who was shown this dream does not have full conviction in me.
Mm-hmm.
She saw a dream from which it was understood to mean that she did not have full belief in the promised Messiah and the reason for his advent. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated, "If she believes in me with full conviction, then God Almighty will grant her a son." She then visited Qadian to physically perform the bet, and after this she was granted a son, who the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, named Ata'ur Rahman, i.e. the father of Lutfur Rahman Sahib. He taught science in Talimul Islam school for a very long period, and I was also one of his students in my school years. The deceased was the eldest son of Mia Ata'ur Rahman Sahib and served as Muhtamim for Majlis Qudamul Ahmadiyya, Pakistan. He served as the editor of Al Minar and Khalid magazines. After this, he served for a lengthy period of time in a school in Sierra Leone. And after seeking retirement, he left for USA. He was a gifted speaker and writer. His treatises were often published in Al-Fazl. Mahmood Mujib Asghar Sahib writes that he once visited Pakistan and was searching for some references in the Khilafat library. He said that he often prepares answers with full supporting references to certain newspapers which raise allegations against Islam and the Holy Quran. And when I send the answers, they often publish them in the newspapers. This is what Lutfur Rahman Sahib told him. And this is the reason why I'm searching for references in the Khilafat library. Ata'ur Mujib Rashid Sahib writes, he was a very learned individual and had a deep insight into matters pertaining to religion. He had a command on both the Urdu and English languages. He would write thoroughly detailed and researched articles in a scholarly manner. He had a passion for researching on different facts and would always read the literature of the Jamaat. And he was an extremely intelligent individual. Khalil Mubashir Sahib, who was in charge of the mission of Sierra Leone and served as the Emir, i.e. national president, writes, "We spent more than 20 years together and I had the opportunity to observe him from very close. He had a unique personality, very humble, and had a balanced temperament. He was so humble that I cannot find words to describe his humility. He was a selfless person. This is no exaggeration. In fact, this is how he was. God Almighty had granted him the ability to deliver speeches and the ability to write. In addition to this, he served as a teacher in an Ahmadiyya school and then later served in an excellent manner as the head teacher and ensured everything ran smoothly in an organized manner. He would offer his prayers with full devotion and would always show gratitude for the blessings given to him by Allah the Almighty. He was regular in paying his chanda, i.e. obligatory contribution, and would give charity, as well as actively participating in financial schemes launched. He had a strong bond of love and devotion with Khilafat. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV visited Sierra Leone in 1988, he had the opportunity to serve in notable capacities. His respect and admiration of Khilafat was such that it was a model for others to see. Even when he came here to see me, and although we have been acquaintances for a while, yet after becoming Khalifa, he changed his conduct completely. Fazl Ahmad Shahid Sahib, who is a missionary of the Jamaat, writes, "On one occasion, a Christian by the name Manad came to Bow, and in front of a large gathering, he started to perform fake miracles. And he replied by writing a treatise, which unsettled the Christians, and even the non-Ahmadi mosque rejoiced over this incident." May Allah the Almighty grant him forgiveness and show him mercy by elevating his status. And may his progeny continue his virtuous deeds. The second funeral is that of Mirza Umar Ahmed Sahib, the son of Sahibzada Dr. Mirza Munawar Ahmed Sahib, who passed away on 5th June at 2 p.m. in the Tahirat Institute, Rabwa. He passed away at the age of 67. To Allah we belong, and to Him shall we return. He was the same age as me and a childhood friend, and as children we used to play together. He possessed great qualities, and in spite of him being a cherished individual, a relative, and one who was the same age as me, and in spite of the fact that we grew up playing together, but after my Khilafat, I particularly witnessed that his level of respect and devotion had become exemplary. May Allah the Almighty elevate his station. He was married to Amatul Kafi Sahiba, the daughter of Major Sayyid Sayyid Ahmed Sahib, and she was the granddaughter of Hazrat Mir Muhammad Ishaq Sahib. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III announced his nikah. He has 5 children, 3 daughters and 2 sons. The youngest daughter is Awaqf Aino, who is doing an excellent duty in the Review of Religions magazine. Another daughter is here in London, Dr. Faria, who is the wife of Dr. Hamad Sahib. And she has served well in different capacities within Lajna-e-Ma'illah. His sister is also here in the UK, Ammatul Hay Sahiba, who is the wife of Dr. Hamatullah Khan Sahib, and he too is among those serving the community. It was always his desire to do waqf, I devote his life for the service of faith. However, in the early stages of my Khilafat, he came to me informing me he had previously written about his desire to do waqf. At the time, I was aware of some of his abilities, and therefore I accepted his waqf and appointed him as the Naib Sadr Amumi. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, he fulfilled his duties there in the finest manner. His wife writes that he told me that I wrote a letter to Hazur regarding waqf and my waqf has been accepted by me. And then I gave him instructions on how to work there and to visit various neighborhoods, especially those which are distant from Rabwa and feel deprived. For this reason, visiting these areas is necessary. He continued to discharge this duty till his last breath and did so in an excellent fashion. Moreover, the people there, who are very poor people, were very pleased with him. There was a great humility in his character and he was very understanding. By the grace of God, he looked after his affairs in a very good manner. The Sadr Umumi also has written that there were some extremely difficult matters which we would assign to him, and yet he would resolve them in the best possible way. And he would do so in such a manner where both parties would be satisfied and all will be heard. Some have even gone as far to say that we only take his verdict, for he listens to all parties and makes his decision based on justice. He was very kind to children in particular, whether his own or others, and he had a lot of love and affection for them, which he would show. His connection with Khilafat was of course very strong. It should be said that it was exemplary. This is exactly what his children, his wife and even others have written. Because even in his last days of sickness, he would feel weakness due to his cancer. Yet when he felt slightly better, he would at once go to the office. And this is in accordance with my instruction to him when he was here, i.e. to continue go to the office. Seeing as this was the instruction of the Khalifa of the time to continue to go to the office, he paid no attention to his illness and would regularly make his way there. And in this period, despite his illness, he would make great efforts to discharge his duties. His daughter writes that when he came here, the doctors told him his illness is very critical, and he replied that it is fine, for Allah the Almighty is the one who cures. So he will grant me life as much as he pleases, and I'm not worried about this in the slightest. And so even the doctor, who was an Englishman, was astonished as plenty of patients become anxious, yet he spoke with such conviction. Similarly, Dr. Nuri Saib writes that he had three illnesses, diabetes, heart problems, and he also had cancer, and it was liver cancer that he suffered from. Nevertheless, he faced all of these with a lot of patience. Nuri Saib writes that he possessed some very high moral qualities. When I was examining him during the days of his illness, he not once complained and would always say, Alhamdulillah, I am fine. Whenever a doctor or visitor would come, he would signal them to come to sit beside him. Qamar Suleiman Sahib says that I was coming to London when the fourth Khalifa passed away. And he gave me an envelope on which it was written, to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Al-Khamis. And he said that this letter is my pledge of allegiance. Whoever is elected Khalifa, present it to him from me. He had firm faith that the system of Khilafat was unceasing and true. The Sadr Amumi Sahib also writes that he possessed wonderful qualities, and whatever task was assigned to him, he would feel uneasy until he had completed it and handed in its report. Likewise, there are numerous others who wrote about him, and all of them wrote about his humility and meekness, his friendly nature, and about his special connection with Khilafat. May Allah the Almighty raise him in status and grant his children the ability to continue his good deeds whilst remaining firmly attached to Khilafat.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَاذْكُرُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ